Our amazing friend, Rabbi Dr. Kenneth Brander, is with us live via telephone. He, of course, is a president in Rosh Hashiva of Or Torah Stone. And speaking of stone, Rabbi Brander has a brand new series entitled If These Stones Could Speak, Exploring Our Past to Build a Better Future. And he'll help us explain to everybody out there exactly what the series is all about. It's really amazing, and it's these short snippets that probably take hours and hours to prepare, frankly, but they're perfect for the attention span of every generation in 2023. Rabbi Dr. Kenneth Brander, president and Rosh Hashiva at Or Torah Stone in Israel, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Thank you, Nachum. It's always a pleasure to be on your show, one of the most important vehicles of communication for the Jewish people. So it's a pleasure.
I appreciate that so much, and thank you again. So I'm not exaggerating when I say it takes hours to present a 2-minute video series, right?
You're 100% right. You know, who would know better than you, who's been doing it for decades? But I, who am a newbie in this, I wanted to find a way to connect Jews of all different types, from Haredi, Hasidic, to those who are not affiliated. And that's the feedback I'm getting, that they're all watching this, to feel the connection to Israel, to our homeland, which sometimes, due to politics or other challenges, seems to be fractured, to try to create a way in which we re-engage to what has been part of our history for literally thousands of years. And the feedback has just been amazing.
Well, the series is great. I was telling you off the air that it's so enjoyable to watch and to listen to. One of the challenges you have, frankly, is I would assume you don't want, of the thousands of places in Israel that one could speak about history and one could speak about, you know, special messages, etc., I would assume you want to go and feature those places that are not so common. A lot of people in this audience have toured Israel and can tell you about a lot of different meaningful areas and locations around the Holy Land. I would guess one of your challenges is really to go beyond the quote-unquote popular and well-known ones and give us a perspective in a place that we're not as familiar with.
You're 100% right, Nachum. I want this to be something for both those who live in Israel and those who live around the world. So the next time they come to Israel, or the next time they cross the street, they're able to see a place from a different perspective. And that's what we're trying to accomplish, the team that's working on this. I mean, the people who are filming this and the people who are doing a lot of the work on this. Our goal is, like, people go through Shari Chesed. I don't need to tell them what Shari Chesed is,
right.
But the fact that there is one floor in the shul of the Gra, of the Gra's Talmidim, to be exact, that is different because of what that represents. Well, there are thousands of people who walk into that shul. None of them have a clue why that is the case. And I anecdotally know that because I actually just sat there and asked people, do you know why this floor is different?
Right.
And everybody has been, people have been diving there for years, you know, had no clue.
Yeah, I really should correct myself. It's not that you're not featuring some of the more popular places. Many of them you are, but you're featuring parts of and aspects of some of those places that are completely unknown, even to those who frequent it on a regular basis. All right, Dr. Kenneth Brander is with us. If you go to ots.org.il /stones, you will see the series entitled If These Stones Could Speak. Now, obviously, we're not going to go through all the episodes that you've already produced and that you've shared with people around the world, but let's give people an example. Rabbi Brander, how did Napoleon's royal coat get from the snowy plains of Russia to the Beit Yisrael synagogue in Yamin Moshe?
Well, thank you for asking about that particular one, because the feedback on that has really helped me in a few different ways. So I'll let people, it's only 2 minutes, I'll let people, you know, watch it if they want to know more. But
right.
The bottom line is that there was a family that helped save Napoleon, that made Aliyah, and they took the cloak that had garbed an emperor and decided that they would transform it into a cloak that would garb the Aron HaKodesh. They would create a parochet out of it. the curtain.
Yeah, the curtain for the tower.
The Aron Kodesh.
Right.
And that in itself was amazing. I had to corroborate this information with a museum in Haifa that holds this. There are 8 museums in Haifa. I had to call all 8 because my luck, Nachum, I only got the 8th one is the one that had it. And I called each one and finally got it. But the unbelievable thing is that someone from Europe and someone from Israel who comes from Holland told me that I should know that, for example, in Holland, many of the synagogues, the parochet, is from garb from royalty. Yeah. I never knew that. In other words, I had heard about this Napoleon parochet that was used in Yamin Moshe, initially in the Eir Atika, but when they moved to Yamin Moshe until 1948. And I had assumed that it was just one of this. Now, I'm just focusing on Israel. But the fact that someone said to me, you should just know that this is an amazing story, thank you, but I grew up in Holland, and many of the shuls in Holland, the parochet came because of the relationship between the royal families and the Jewish community. So that's an amazing, an additional piece that I learned.
Really incredible.
I think it's just, my goal here is just to show messages that are found in pieces that are 2,000 years old that are relevant to us. Just to give an example of something we haven't done yet, the next one's going to focus on something that is a relic that's 2,000 years old that has a very strong contemporary message. And people can pass this relic on a pretty regular basis, those who daven in the Old City or those that come and visit, and no one has a clue about this relic. And I think there's an unbelievable contemporary message to it, so I'm trying to find those. Right now, we're focused a little on Yerushalayim, but we're going to move outside of Yerushalayim. And just to give another example, while faith does not require proof, but there's actually a new study that was done in an academic journal that corroborates how the stones can authenticate the dates and times that are found in Tanakh.
Wow.
So we're going to focus on sometimes on those things. But the trick is, Nachum, as you know, for me to be able to do this in 2 minutes and less, that for me, that's just probably the biggest challenge. How do I do this in, 2 minutes, 2 minutes and 20 seconds when, I could speak an hour on it.
It is
but
so
Baruch
hard.
Hashem, seems to be working well.
Oh, it's working. Those of you who want to see the first 5 episodes, go to ots.org.il/stones. The series is entitled If These Stones Could Speak, and no joke, these are 2-minute segments that Brander posts after all the hours that go into it and all the editing, etc., and he's able to put it down to a 2-hour piece that you can enjoy, a 2-minute piece that you can enjoy. ots.org.il/stones, ots.org.il/stones. By the way, Rabbi Brander, a question out of left field, but I would love your response to it. We make a big deal, rightfully so, about the value of time, right? In our tradition, time is a very, very valuable commodity, to say the least. And some of our Torah giants, we talk that there's been for a couple of hundred years the rumors about how much time the Vilna Gaon, quote unquote, did not spend in Torah study. That's always a debate in elementary and high school. And people talk about the Lubavitcher Rebbe and how, they used to marvel at how he would always be involved in Torah study, even as he was walking from his office to Mincha and the Beit Midrash, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You spending all the time you did with Rav Soloveitchik, I'm sure you saw somebody in front of you who you knew how to utilize time and knew the value of every second and every minute. What does it say to you that such an important shiur, so to speak, and lesson that you're giving in a 2-minute time span can be so valuable and so meaningful?
Well, I think first of all, building on the shoulders of the great people that you mentioned, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who by the way, was trained also at university, but right. The Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal was very much really the modern person who used television and other forms to communicate the message of Torah. I mean, the Lubavitcher Rebbe perhaps is the first significant Torah personality to really do that in the modern age.
Right.
And, you know, taking that point and the Rav and his public shiurim, which were of great stature. And obviously, I don't fit into any of those categories, but borrowing some of those ideas, I think that we live at a time in which we should use the media in a way to be able to be mekadesh it, to sanctify it.
Yep.
And here we're able to sanctify social media and all of its different forms to be able to share the eternal, immortal messages that are found in the stones throughout Eretz Israel. And what an unbelievable privilege it is for me as a new Ola to be able to do that. It helps me, you know, I'm blessed to be able to give shiur in the Beis Medrash on various different, what I would call more standard topics, but it requires me to expand my bandwidth. And often it also, I think, empowers my ability to give those classes. But if I want to be able to be fresh, in my learning, I need to expand the various different paradigmatic components of it. And this allows me to be able to, there are halachic research that I need to do. There's other forms of research that I need to do in order to be able to do these properly.
Oh, no question.
They don't always come through on the 2-minute pieces.
Right.
But if anyone of your listeners wanted to ever say, you know, I'm interested in the halachic pieces of it, I would be happy to share them a few notes. But it's just an amazing opportunity. And the energy that is found on the streets of Eretz Israel, even with the tragedies, as so many of us are doing Nichum Avelim this week, but the energy that is found on the streets of Eretz Israel and what it represents, the opportunity to be able to communicate it, hopefully in an effective way so that people can be inspired or at least put it on a to-do list when they come to Israel, is just a blessing.
No question about it. And, well, as I said before, I would guess you have a greater appreciation for the value of 2 minutes, to say the least.
100%.
It is, as this generation, the 2023 generation, has been telling us, it's amazing how much one can accomplish and how much one can communicate in 2 minutes, although they may say that 20 seconds is even better. Go to the website, everybody, ots.org.il/stones. Rabbi Dr. Kenneth Brander's brand new series is entitled If These Stones Could Speak, and we are highly recommending it. Rabbi Brander, a big yeshe koach to you. Mazel tov on the new series, and thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you, Nachum. Thank you for the opportunity, and continue to do your amazing work as you share and inform the Jewish community around the world.
I appreciate that. I'm going to stick to 3 hours, okay? I mean, you could do the 2-minute route.
Okay, listen.
I'm going to stick with the 3 hours. Although we are becoming somewhat proficient in the shorter formats, I'm proud to say. Big thank you to my Dr. Kenneth Brander, everybody. Go to the website, ots.org.il/stones. You will be impressed and you'll learn a lot from a brand new and amazing series. More coming up. It is a Wednesday morning edition of JM in the AM.